reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of Deuteronomy. It's page 195. And we read Deuteronomy 7, verses 6 through 9. You are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession. Out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth, it was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers. The Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Romans chapter 8. It's found on page 1209. And we read Romans 8 beginning at verse 28. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies? Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is written in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, found on page 1047. We read Matthew 13, beginning at verse 44. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up, Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the close of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. And he said to them, therefore every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your Old Testament lesson for today, which I'd like to reread two verses. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers. This is our text. My daughter recently changed jobs, and she's now working for a really weird company. The first week, they didn't train her to do a thing. Instead, they had her going around to people who weren't even her supervisors, learning what the company did. Like that's important. For a whole week, and they actually paid her to do this. And then what's really interesting is when the week is done, she was required to put together a presentation of everything she learned about what the company does, and also, by the way, what the company expects of all of its employees, and go before the CEO and give a presentation of what she learned. How weird is that in our corporate world today? Why would a company want to do such a weird thing? I offer two possible reasons. First of all, in the learning process, they expect their employees to be different than employees working at other places. They expect their employees to have in mind the goals and the purposes of this company as they go about doing their job. Not just putting in time, but actually thinking about what they are trying to accomplish for the good of everybody. And second, with that presentation to the CEO, they apparently want the employees to not be afraid of the CEO and be willing to talk to him. Which, by the way, she learned in this whole process that very last part, there's a lot of people who were hired by the company that when they were told that is what they had to do, they quit. Seriously. They were so afraid of having to make that kind of presentation that they just said, I don't want to work here. For you are a people holy to the Lord. As good Lutherans, we ask, what does this mean? The real meaning behind the ancient Hebrew word for holy meant to be separate, distinct. Not that Israel was anything separate or distinct or special when God called them. In fact, He makes it clear to them that they were really nothing special. But He was going to make them into something special. He was going to separate them from all other peoples, that they might lead a separate life, a distinct life. Not with their own plans and purposes in mind, but the plans and the purposes of God. And as they did that, He wanted them to have a distinct and special understanding of the kind of God that He is. He didn't want a people that were afraid to come before Him, afraid to ask Him of things. He's a different God. He chooses this people not because they're so special, but because He loves them. And also because He is a faithful God. When He makes a promise, He keeps it. And He wanted His people to live with Him in a relationship of love and trust. And for God, that's the key to making, if you will, a different and distinct people. But Israel didn't always get this. If you remember from your history of Israel, they didn't always come before God in a relationship of love and trust. He leads them out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. He parts the waters of the Red Sea, and yet when they get out in the wilderness and the water supply is running a little bit short, they cry out to Moses, why did God lead us out here? He just wanted to kill us in the desert. They wanted to go back to Egypt. Yet God doesn't forsake them. He gives them water out of a rock. Miraculously shows how faithful He is to His people, how much He loves them and cares for them. Then their food supply begins to run a little low, and they fall back into the same concept of God. They don't trust His leadership. They're afraid of Him. He brought us out into this desert to kill us. Oh, if we could have only been back in Egypt. And they want to flee God and flee the great gifts that He's promised to give them. and just go back to the old way of life that they had. And God gives them manna from heaven and quail to fill their pots. This is the second time in our text for today that Israel is standing on the edge of the promised land, ready to enter in. 40 years earlier, they had stood here. But they didn't enter. Not because God was unfaithful. Not because God didn't love them. But they just couldn't learn to love and trust God. They sent spies into the land of Israel who came back and told them, hey, this is a great and wonderful land flowing with milk and honey. But there's some big warriors who live in the land. They're too big for us. We can't conquer them. And again, Israel moaned and groaned and wondered why God had led them there. And God had to train them again. For 40 years, he sent them out in the wilderness to learn how much they can trust him, to learn how faithful he is to his promises. And now again they stand on the brink of entering the promised land, and this time they will. Because if you will, they don't fear the CEO anymore. They are a different people. But not because, if you will, they're so different. But it's because they've learned they have a different God. A God who is always faithful. A God they can always trust. They now follow him into the promised land. Not because they're so confident of their own strength and their own power and their own abilities. But they follow him because they love and they trust him. And how much more ought we love and trust God, knowing how he has done even more for his people than what he did for Israel. He sent his son into the flesh, had him suffer and die on the cross, to learn that he is faithful to his promises when he tells us that he can even conquer death, and that he can take away our sin. He not only shows his great love, but he shows his great power in the day of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if God can conquer sin and death for us in Jesus, what can he not accomplish for us? But not according to our own plans and purposes. Did you catch that when we were reading the epistle lesson for today? God is at work for good. You know, a lot of people just stop there. God must have some good that, you know, he's trying to figure out in this. But the verse continues, for those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. If you don't understand the plans and the purposes of God, how can you figure out what good he's trying to do? And that is a huge problem in the world. People may know about God. They may know that he sent his son Jesus into this world to die and to rise again, but they're really quite clueless When it comes to understanding God's plans and purposes, they're, if you will, untrained. They've just maybe gone to work, but they have no real idea as to what God's company is all about. They go off in this direction and that direction, according to what they think is good and right, with no clue as to what God tells us is good and right. Look at the world we live in, my friends. The moral chaos that is all around us. Things people did years ago that they would hide from everyone. That was done in secret and dark places. Today people now are open about such things. And if you call their conduct into question, you are attacked as some kind of weirdo, not in tune with what life is really like. They don't know the real God. They don't understand His plans and purposes. They are an untrained people. And rather than seeing themselves as called out to be different, to be holy to God, to be His treasured possession among all the peoples, to be different and distinct, they're just the same as the rest of the world. Oh, it's not that we do not fall at times. It's not that we are without sin. But what kind of people are we trying to be? Are we striving to be that people that God calls us to be? Or are we just content to be like everybody else? God didn't call us as His own so that we could live as we want. He calls us to be a holy people, a chosen people for His treasured possession. And amongst the most important things He wants us to know is that He is a different God Himself. A God who acts in love for His people at all times. And a God who is faithful to His promises. And a God in all that He says, in all that He does, in all that He commands, is always at work for our good. Not according to our plans and purposes, but according to His plan and purpose. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.